This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, JT the Brick.
Welcome to the official Raiders podcast. I'm your host, JT. Big one. I'm calling this one the Insiders. Adam Kaplan, one of the best insiders in football from ESPN. He's going to join us. And Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback, one of the most respected NFL journalists out there. The Silver and Black get set to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville this Sunday. The Jags are 2-3 coming off a win against Chicago, and the Raiders coming off a home loss to Kansas City. Big spot here. A lot's been said all week long about the Raiders staying in Florida, but it's one game at a time. It's Jacksonville, then Tampa, but we're focusing on the Jacksonville Jaguars this week on the podcast. For the Raiders, they got to get going again. They need to build up some momentum here, get the offense going. I talked to Derek Carr Monday on the radio, and he owned it. He flat out owned it and said he played his worst game. He struggled. He's working hard. He's prepped, and he's ready to go beat the Jaguars. Derek Carr is going to have a big game against Blake Bortles. And for Bortles and the Jaguars, we know what they're going to do. They struggle on offense. They're ranked 29th overall, and their rush offense is 31st in the league. But they like to throw. They have multiple big play wide receivers who can get after it. And I just think they're going to attack the Raiders down the middle of the field and over the top, because the Raiders coming into this game are ranked 32nd in pass defense, 32nd in total defense, and they need a game against a guy like Blake Bortles, where hopefully Khalil Mack and the pass rush can get to him. Bortles is going to sit in the pocket. He's like a Joe Flacco, but less mobile, and he'll wait for that play to develop, and then he's going to throw it deep downfield. He's that type of guy, and he'll throw it to receivers who are able to get open, catch jump balls, and make big plays. The Raiders have their hands full. Jacksonville's defense is better than you think. 8th overall in total defense, 8th against the pass, only giving up 218 yards a game. So the Raiders are going to have to execute. There can't be a game with a lot of penalties here, especially pass interference, because I think that's the game plan for Greg Olsen and the Jaguars, is to throw deep downfield. All right, let's get to our guest. Adam Kaplan joins us, one of the premier NFL insiders, an insider for ESPN. Adam, thanks a lot for joining us. You were a big hit last year on the podcast. Thanks for joining us again.
Always good to talk to you and talk about your Raiders, and I know we've got a lot of Raider fans. I look at my Twitter account, and I swear half of them are Raider fans. It's pretty amazing.
Where they are right now heading into this Jacksonville game, defensively, statistically, they're in big trouble, 32nd overall in net yards and pass defense. But offensively, Derek Carr, will start with this, has this team out to a 4-2 start. Is this where you expected the Raiders to be at this time?
You know, JT, I picked them to be one of the wild card teams. I picked them when most people thought that this would be one of the breakout teams. Didn't think they would win a division, but obviously right now they're tied for the division, which is a good thing. Even though they didn't play particularly well on either side of the football last week, the schedule sets up nicely for them. This is now, I will tell you from talking to people around the league, the Jaguars have been really good defensively. They've improved every week. It's offense. Blake Bortles has not played consistent football. One good game, one bad game. Derek Carr has played much better. Obviously, we know they were taking the same draft. And Derek's taking this game to another level, though. Last week was not a good game for him. From my understanding, his footwork needed to be a little bit better. It was just not the kind of performance you would expect. But as you know, JT, there's something about Andy Reid. He's now 16-2 after the bye with the Chiefs and, of course, with the Eagles.
Well, I mean, we mentioned Bortles. I want to stay with him for a second, because he's the type of guy who waits in the pocket for a play to develop. He's got a big arm downfield, and he can take a hit. And he's the type of guy, if the Raiders don't get a pass rush going with Mack, it just seems like he's going to throw jump balls down the middle of the field, where the Raiders have struggled this year defending the pass. Do you expect Bortles just to attack the Raiders the entire game?
Well, Greg Olsen's offense, if we study it, it's power running, deep passing, not much of an intermediate game. It's probably the biggest criticism of really the Jaguar passing game has been, where's Julius Thomas? Where's that intermediate passing game? Because, you know, Allen Robinson is a tremendous football player. He's their number one receiver. Allen Hurns is really flourished as their number two receiver, but you'd like to see the intermediate game. Olsen's done a great job with Blake Bortles. He's managed him very well, no question about it. But you'd like to see Bortles take his game to another level. After having a breakout season last year, let's be honest, he's not played at the same level for whatever reason.
You mentioned the Jaguars' defense, and it's really good. It's improving because against the pass, 218 yards a game. That ranks eighth overall. And you mentioned Carr and how he's available to throw downfield. He's got playmakers in Amari Cooper and Crabtree. What's interesting here, Adam, is the fact that Latavius Murray, who's going to try to give it a go with the turf toe, and then with DeAndre Washington and Jalen Richard, it seems like Bill Musgrave wants to be more balanced and get the running game going. But the strength of the Silver and Black is Carr in that passing game.
I know, JT, from talking with the Raiders, they were so committed to running the football no matter what would happen. They were, you just mentioned it. That was coming up from Jack Del Rio. Jack believes in running the football. He wants a balanced offense. I think that's what you've got there. Now, the Jaguars, no team is deeper up the middle. They have the best rotation at defensive tackle in the National Football League. They are really five deep. They're their ends could you can move. Jared Odrick, you'll see him play inside on Sunday. And when they go to nickel and Gakwe, their outstanding rookie, who Raider fans, well, they're hoping that he doesn't have a big game. He's probably right now one of the best defensive rookies this season. He's been great. The Jaguars love their defense. They just need to get more out of their offense if they're going to meet kind of what their expectations were for the season.
Adam Kaplan joins us, a great NFL insider for ESPN. When you look at the Raiders' offensive line, bringing in Osemele, who is a beast and is supposed to play really hard and vicious, Hudson at center, Gabe Jackson in the year he had last year, Menelik Watson's been banged up, Donald Penn has had some big games so far. Are you still bullish on the Raiders' offensive line?
Yeah, I would say this. The Cowboy offensive line is better. I don't think that anyone would argue that, but the Raider, you mentioned it, they've not been able to get healthy. Even their backups have been hurt. I don't know if they've had one game past week one where they've had the same seven offensive linemen be active and healthy. That's a problem because you've got Austin Howard, who's had the ankle problem for several weeks. He's their top backup offensive lineman. They need him to play. Alexander, who's been a great story for them. Unfortunately, he's hurt right now. You mentioned Watson. He's been hurt virtually the entire season. So I think the injuries have certainly caught up to their offensive line a little bit. The pass pro has been great. The thing they've got to do, and we've mentioned it briefly here, it's one thing to make a commitment for the run, but you're not seeing the big plays in the run game. I remember talking with Tavis Murray at training camp. So that was the thing that he wanted to take to the next level here. But now with the turf toe injury, and my understanding is, he's still limited by it to a certain extent. He feels better, but he's not quite all the way back with it. So even if he plays this week, you have to think the two young running backs are probably going to get a little bit of work.
Adam Kaplan's our guest. When I saw you up in Napa and you were looking at this team, I wanted your philosophy on Ken Norton Jr. and his future in this league because he took some heat this week. They took heat in the first game against New Orleans, giving up over 1,000 yards in the first two games. Then the Raider defense started making some plays, and then they took a step backwards against Kansas City. Is the future bright for Ken Norton Jr. in this league overall with the principles he brought in from Seattle and Pete Carroll and working side by side with Jack Del Rio?
Well, I would say this, and this is not a secret. Jack has become heavily involved in the defensive game planning, and on game day he's heavily involved. And it's going to come down to this. If they don't get this defense, and a fix is a bad word, coaches hate that, corrections and stop making the same mistakes. From talking to the Raiders, the mental busts they've had on defense are just mind-boggling, and it seems like there's something new every week. And I understand, JT, when you really look at how many new players are playing here. Bruce Irvin, Jihad Ward, Corey James, Amerson's now back for, this is his first full season, Carl Joseph, Reggie Nelson is new. And then, of course, Sean Smith now. There are a lot of changes here. That is part of it. We need to be fair about it when we talk about it. But the fact of the matter is the numbers are unacceptable. It's not just the rankings. It's the mental errors every week which are killing this defense. And I know the fans have asked me on Twitter, what's wrong with Khalil Mack? I mean, he's making the same effort, but he's not making the same plays. Bruce Irvin, we were expecting big stuff from him. Raiders are not getting it. If they want to win this division, go in the playoffs, if this defense does not improve significantly, they're absolutely not going anywhere.
Adam Kaplan joins us. I'll stay with Mac for a second. When you look at the film, is he being doubled, chipped? The fact is he getting around the edge quicker than he was? Everyone, as you know, Adam, knows he's in the stadium, where he is at all times. Should the Raiders be moving him around more and getting him open in space?
Yeah, he's had a bunch of plays where he almost gets the sack, almost makes a big play, but is not getting it. Then the question is, do you want to move him around more, stand him up more? And then Bruce Irvin is not making the impact as a pass rusher. And I remember talking to the Razorback Corey James. Now, this is before they made the switch at middle linebacker, but he's a guy that you could rush a little bit. He's very, very fast and athletic. Carl Joseph, who's a box player, could at some point, I know because a lot of people in the league about Joseph, they thought he'd be a guy like Bob Sanders who could blow plays up and maybe rush the passer a little bit. I think Ken Norton's going to have to get creative with Jack Del Rio. They've got to figure out some ways to get the job done here. And the thing about the Jaguars, they're so loaded on offense. They're going to spread you out. And the thing that the Jaguars are going to try to do this Sunday, the one thing they've not done well is run the football. In fact, they weren't running it well last year, and it's even been worse for them this season.
Adam Kaplan joins us. What are they saying in Bristol and throughout your travels on Crabtree and Cooper and the ceiling for both those two receivers?
Yeah, and I think when you look at Crabtree, this is why they extend his contract. Tremendous leadership. This is the thing that, and I know from talking to the 49ers, that they loved about him and was very underrated. He's a tremendous practice player. Brings the energy and the passion every week, and he sets a great example. Of course, he's off to a very good start. Amari Cooper is a terrific football player. He's going to put up record numbers this season. The only thing that he needs to do a better job of is look at where his feet are. He's missed at least three touchdowns this season that, you know, from talking to the Raiders, he should have had, and he's got to take a look at that. But he's been terrific. And don't forget about Seth Roberts, the third-year undrafted free agent, who's one of the better young slot receivers in the league. And the receiver position is not the issue on offense. They've just got to get the running game going a little bit more. And they have to get the big plays. And I think this is where Bill Musgrave, as a play caller, has to figure out a way to get these young running backs, Jalen Richard and DeAndre Washington. They're not making the big plays that I know from talking to Raiders they thought they were going to get this season.
Last question. When you're back on the set with the insiders there on ESPN, it just seems like the Raiders are a team that everyone wants to talk about. When they're winning games, everybody lights up and says, wow, they're back. And then they lose a game, and they lose a little bit of that national coverage. This is a big spot for them. Jacksonville, Tampa Bay, staying in Florida throughout the 10 days here. Do you think this is a defining moment to their season to get back on track there and get a winning streak going?
Well, the thing is, though, you have to look at the division. The Raiders have so many, you know, they've got plenty left in the division. We know how well they played at Denver last season. That was an incredible win, as you well know. This is a conference game, but I wouldn't put so much stock in it. It's actually more important to me for the Jaguars than the Raiders. The Raiders, obviously, are now one of the young premier teams. The Jaguars are trying to find their way. And remember, Gus Bradley's contract, he's only signed through 2017. He signed a one-year extension earlier this year. The Jaguars have to get things going here, and I think they know that.
All right, he's a must-follow. Must-follow for the Raider Nation on Twitter. Kaplan, NFL, we appreciate your time, Adam. You've been busy on the road. Thanks for joining us again. I can't wait to see you down the road.
Thank you.
Great catching up with Adam Kaplan. Now we go to the great Peter King as he launched MMQB, the Monday Morning Quarterback, and we welcome him to the official Raiders podcast. Peter, great to talk to you again, and with the Raiders sitting at 4-2, heading to Jacksonville, with a lot of big moments so far this year, assess the Raiders. Did you think they'd be playing this well and be sitting with four wins at this point?
JT, they're right about where I thought they would be, except I thought they'd be playing a little better defensively. I thought they would be the explosive offensive team that they've been. I mean, it's surprising to me to run it quite as well without some Latavius Murray at times, you know. But I think what you're seeing right now is that the promise of Derek Carr is really paying off. I don't know how you cannot be bullish on Derek Carr, not only his short-term future, but his long-term. So I think that's helped. And I think there is some part of me when I watch this team play that makes me think that, you know, it might take a while for Khalil Mack to get used to playing with great expectations, because I think he has struggled with that part of his game.
Peter, the defense is ranked 32nd overall, 32nd in the pass, 30th rush defense. Talk about what you think is the strength of Jack Del Rio's principles on defense with Ken Norton Jr. Do you think they can get on the same page on all these players just not living up to expectation, especially the free agents?
See, I think that's part of it, JT, but I think one of the other things is that, look, you know, as long as you are going to rely on a heavy dose of free agency, and I'm not saying that they were the Giants this offseason or anything, but look at the New York Giants, for instance. They have played well in fits and starts on defense, but they've had some bad defensive games too. And so I think when you rely on newcomers to play really, really big roles, especially, I would say this, especially at positions where you need really good chemistry, especially, you know, like in the secondary at corner, I would maintain that one of the reasons why the Arizona Cardinals have built this really good secondary over the last few years is that they've had guys who played together for a while. They've had guys who know where each other are going to be on every snap. And so I think that is one of the things that you look at when you have some newcomers and you're trying to get them to play on the same page. I'd say one other thing. Like, I still think, that this absolutely unequivocally will not be the 32nd ranked team on defense. It just isn't going to happen. They're going to be better as the season goes along, and I think they're going to be better as Mac adjusts to doing some things differently and as Mac adjusts to more and more pressure put on him by opposing offensive coordinators.
Peter King's our guest. Peter, looking at the Jaguars who take on the Raiders, what do you like about what they're doing with their scheme, with their young players they've drafted on defense, with speed, especially coming off the edge? And Blake Bortles really has some good weapons at the wide receiver position.
You know, I wrote this the other day that, Blake Bortles got a good win in Chicago, no question about it. But one of the things that bothers me about Blake Bortles, it's going to be okay. He might turn out to be really good. But I think that he needs to have significantly better. I think he needs more of a sense of awareness of the decisions he makes and some of the passes he throws, you know, just are not good. That's one thing. But I'd say this about their defense right now, JT. When I saw them in training camp, one of the things I Say Fowler, Miles Jack, Jalen Ramsey. I mean, Jalen Ramsey is really going to be good. And I think Dante Fowler over the long term is really going to be good. But they are a team. It's hard to say they're going to be really good right now because all these guys basically are playing pro football for the first time. And so then he's the puzzle, like, you know, Prince of Tomorrow, healthy. This is, to me, a mysterious team. It's funny, JT, I picked the Raiders and the Jaguars to win their divisions at the start of the year, and I'm feeling pretty good about my Raiders pick, but I think the Jaguars are at least 1 year away.
Peter, last question. At the Hall of Fame, with Ken Stabler getting in after he passed away and really securing those great Raider teams of the 70s, there's still individuals out there who are waiting, from Cliff Branch to Tom Flores, the fans of Jim Plunkett there. But can you just wrap this up by how important it was for Stabler to get in that shows that team, with dating back to Jim Otto and Art Shell and Gene Upshaw and Casper and Biletnikoff, how important it was for the Raiders to have their quarterback finally in Canton?
Yeah, JT, I think that John Madden, I've never seen him as impassioned about a subject as I saw about him and Ken Stabler belonging in it. And I think also one of the things that drove the momentum for him with the Hall, honestly, one of the things, I think this was really important, is the fact that so many of his foes, particularly the Pittsburgh Steelers, You know, their attitude was, you got to be crazy that this guy isn't in the Hall of Fame. I was on the fence for quite a while, but at the end I was convinced, you know, by sort of the overwhelming sentiment for him. And you know, the next guy, I believe, JT, is Cliff Branch. I think that you ask anybody over a decade-long period, basically, and they would tell you that Lynn Swann absolutely was not more dangerous. He may have been as dangerous as Cliff Branch, but he wasn't more dangerous. And, I mean, the one guy who I think really, really deserves it, and I hope he gets out of the seniors committee soon and has a chance in the room to have his case discussed, is Cliff Branch.
Awesome, Peter. Great talking to you again. I know you're thrilled about Monday morning quarterback. Tell our listeners on the way out why this is so important to you as a personal venture and how well it's going.
Well, JT, 3.5 years ago, we started this site, the MMQB. The MMQB, basically, I want to try to help some of the young journalists. You know, we've got 6 people working for us, writing for us, average age of 28 years, 3 months old. And I want young people to be able to be really good at this, and not only to be really good at it, but to be as lucky as I've been over the years. If you're passionate about it, I want to help you be great. So I've been lucky to get a staff of really hungry young people who are doing good work, and I appreciate you mentioning it.
Hope to talk to you down the road again, Peter. All the best. Thank you so much.
Thank you, JT.
Thanks again to Peter King and Adam Kaplan, the insiders. You know, the podcast lately, thanks to everyone who's retweeting the podcast, downloading it at Raiders.com and on iTunes. And I'm really proud of that one. To get Adam Kaplan and Peter King on together, two of the elite NFL insiders who love talking Raider football, that's what we want to do here every week. For Silver and Black Productions, I'm JT the Brick. We'll talk to you after Jacksonville as the Raiders stay in Florida and get ready for the Buccaneers. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.